This morning we continue in Matthew 25, picking up verses 14 through 30. Hear God's word. It's like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, and to a third $1,000. Depending upon their abilities. And then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second one did the same. But the man with a single thousand dug a hole, and he carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back, and he settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he doubled his investment. And his master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. And the servant with the 2,000 showed how he also doubled his master's investment. And his master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, and that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid that I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and I secured your money. And here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. Well, the master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the best? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risks the most. And get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness. May God give us understanding of his holy word. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It seems as if, by nature, we are a very cautious, fearful people. We seem to be a people that are motivated more by fear than by anything else. In fact, it was really interesting to me to read just this last week, maybe you saw it, that so much care has been taken in recent years in schoolyards to avoid any accidents. And yet they're actually finding that accidents are going up because the kids are bored. They want to be adventuresome, so they're finding new ways to get into trouble and get in harm's way. So we've got this conflict. There's a side of us that wants to step out and be bold, and then there's a side of us that's scared and cautious. How many of you had a parent when you were growing up that told you to go out and be bold? I don't see even a single hand. Yours did? John, fantastic. Excellent. Because most of us, I think, most of our parents were continually saying, be careful. If there was one sentence I think most of us heard most often, it was, be careful. We were always told to be cautious. And so what happens? What sticks in our brain? Not to step out and be bold, but to be careful and be cautious in everything that we do. It reminds me a little bit of the story that King Duncan tells about how years ago, back in 1993, that at the California State Automobile Association, there was a package that arrived. It was quite suspicious. They were very concerned. It was this used Fruit Loops cereal box. And so the workers, you know, they're very suspicious, they're cautious. You know, what if it had explosives in it? What if it was dangerous? So they call out the bomb squad, and they had about 400 office workers that were evacuated from the building. And the bomb squad, they decided they would neutralize it with this little cannon. And so they blew the contents into the air. And they found out later, it wasn't a bomb, it was $24,000 in $20 bills. Oops. Just blowing all over, can you imagine? So they lost about 1,000. Unfortunately, they were able to save. It wasn't all just totally destroyed, but people are afraid. And so the first reaction is to expect the worst. But that gets in our way. And we sometimes think, like this poor man in the scripture today, we sometimes think that that's what God wants us to do, is to just be really careful, really guarded about everything that we have. And that can be especially true within the church. Often, we think that being bold is the antithesis of what God wants us to do. He wants us to protect all the things that He's provided us with, to be safe, right? No, He doesn't. Because our fear comes often out of our own sense of poverty, or our own sense of inability, or our own sense of not being good enough, not able to do those big, bold things. And so it's really easy for us to play it safe. And when you play it safe, nothing happens. Well, I'll share another story with you. Robert Bohl, who actually is one of the former presidents of the board at the seminary, and he shares a story about how he remembers reading about this little girl named Annie, who back in 1876, she was just 10 years old, she was put in a poorhouse for children. They did that a lot back then. It was called the Tewksbury Almshouse in Massachusetts. Her mother had died. Her father had deserted her. Her aunt and uncle found her too difficult to handle. And she, frankly, did have a bad disposition. She had a very violent temper, stemming in part from eyes that were afflicted with a very painful eye disease. And she'd been put into the poorhouse because no one wanted her. That's something we all could fear, right? Not being wanted. And she was such a wild one that at times they even had to tie her down, if you can imagine. But there was this other inmate, if you want to call it that, named Maggie, who cared for Annie. And Maggie talked to her, she fed her, she even though Annie would at times throw food at her and be very vicious, Maggie was a Christian. And she had strong convictions, and she was determined that she was going to do everything that she could do for this little girl. And it wasn't easy, but she finally got through to Annie that she was not the only one who was there suffering, that there were others there, including Maggie herself. And Maggie herself had also been abandoned. So she understood what it was like. She understood the feelings. And amazingly, gradually, Annie began to respond to the kindness and to the love. And Maggie actually told Annie about a school for the blind. And Annie began to beg that the center would send her there. And so finally they got consent, and she went to the Perkins Institute, and after a series of operations, she got part of her sight back. And I'm sure it relieved a lot of the pain as well. So she was able to finish her schooling and graduate around age 20, and having been blind for so long, she told the director of Perkins, the place that had helped her, that she would love to go to work there and to work and help other blind and difficult children. And so they hired her. And eventually, they found a little girl, 7 years old in Alabama, who was blind and deaf from age 2. You know where this story is going, don't you? Annie Sullivan went to Alabama to unlock the door of Helen Keller's dark prison and to set her free. Now here you have an impossible situation. Practical people, cautious people would say something like this could never happen. That we should just accept our limits, deal with it, and just know that that's just how it is, and that there's just no real hope. But that's not what these little girls did. These little girls, one helping another, freed each other. And who would have ever guessed? Who would have ever guessed what Helen Keller would do with her life, being deaf and blind? all that she would accomplish. And I'm convinced that the only reason that we don't hear more of these stories is because too many of us are still stuck in the mode of what we can't do instead of realizing what we can do. Too many of us are fearful. Too many of us are locked in and thinking other people have more talent. Other people can do more than us. What can I do? And God wants you to know that wherever you are, you can do a lot. And He doesn't want you living in that little cage. He wants to set you free to do it. Author Dennis Waitley shares this poem that really resonates. It's a rewrite of a well-known poem, and it goes like this. There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And when one day he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claimed he never died. Since he never really lived, how could he have died? But you know what? There are a lot of us who go through life never really living. Because really living means taking risks. Really living means stepping out. Really living means thinking about what could be and not being held back by discouragement. I want to close with one exciting thing that I really love. There is a Canadian writer and teacher by the name of Martin Rutt, and he does a lot of workshops all over the place. He tries to get people thinking about what would heaven on earth be like. So he gets together with groups and he asks them a question. And the question is, tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth. Now think about that for a minute. When was a time when you experienced heaven on earth? Well, he goes around and he gets them discussing it, and then he asks a second question. He says, I'm going to pick up a pen, and I want you to imagine that this pen is a magic wand, and with this magic wand, you could create heaven on earth. But what is heaven on earth? And then he goes around and the participants share their idea of what heaven on earth would be like. I know it seems like it ought to be easy, but we so seldom even think in that context because we get so hung up on what isn't in this world. For me, it would be a place where we all got along. It would be a place where homelessness didn't exist. People had enough food to eat. Where we were helping each other and helping to make up the difference when things didn't work out. When we were finding solutions, and rather than going to war, rather than finding ways, spending billions and billions of dollars on protecting ourselves in ways that never really protect ourselves, that money was spent instead on helping each other. They've done the research. They found that there is enough for everyone to be cared for. So, then he goes on, he continues. He says, what simple, easy, concrete steps will you take in the next 24 hours to move that vision forward? And I'm sure at that point they were thinking, what we all think, what can I do? But sometimes those results from those sessions are really pretty amazing. For example, there was one woman in the workshop who was really, really bothered, as we are, by homelessness. And she was wondering, what can I do about it? But she was a real estate agent. And she got to thinking, and she went back, and she had a conversation with the other realtors that she works with. And she said, okay, what if every time one of us sells a home, we contributed $100 to the pot to collect money to help get others into homes? And the idea caught on. And they raise over $50,000 to help people get back into homes. And this is just an individual. And then there was another woman who had an idea. She was very concerned about a domestic abuse. And she had gone to police and government agencies. She couldn't get anyone to help. And when she asked this writer, Rhett, you know, well, so what could I do? What could I do? And he says, I don't know, Susan. You could donate $5,000 or you could donate a penny. And she started thinking about that. And she said, but what difference would a penny make? But then somebody next to her said, okay, but what if we got everyone to donate a penny a day to help against domestic abuse? And so they started a program called Making Change, and it became so popular that counties around them also started doing it. Little things. And you see things that we've been doing. This change bucket that we pass around, change for change, that's helped us pay for any number of things, including the heat that we're finally getting. Little things can go a long way. And the things that we're dismissive of or we think can't really happen, those limits are our limits. They're not God's limits. It's our attitude. It's our vision. It's our willingness to step out. Life is about taking risks. And God didn't put any of us here to play it safe. Playing it safe means not trusting God. If we really have faith, then we're stepping out all the time. We're not doing it as dummies, we're not doing it indiscriminately. We're doing it, hopefully, watching where God is leading. But when He's showing us something that needs to be done, He wants us to get away from the fear and to trust and to step out. And every time we do, our faith grows. Every time we do, we make a difference. Every time we do, we help get the world a little closer to heaven. So what are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? To play it safe? To be fearful? To be cautious? Or to trust? Let us pray. Almighty God, we want good lives. We want safe lives. Sometimes we don't realize that the very things that we do that we think will make us safe are actually robbing us of the very things that will make us rich. Help us to trust in You and to follow wherever You lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.